fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we have with us once again Dr. Phil Gigliotti is our guest. And Dr. Phil last week gave his testimony throughout the whole week, kind of his journey and his journey into the heart of the church. Yesterday we began to talk a little bit about the Great Commission, because at the heart of what it means to be a disciple, and Dr. Phil was sharing with us last week how really by God's grace, his faith came alive in a fresh and a new way, and he encountered the Lord. And in the heart of that encounter, when we authentically meet the Lord, he leads us to repentance for sin. He leads us to new life in the Spirit. He leads us to have a passion for his church. He leads us to be in communion with one another. He leads us to the table of the Lord. But he also leads us to his mission of the salvation of souls throughout the world. This is the burning heart of Jesus Christ is for those who don't know him. And he wants to put that heart in us, in you and in me. And he really has put that heart in Dr. Phil, which is why I asked him to come back this week again to share with us stories from his own experience, boots on the ground, experience of what it means to communicate the glad tidings of God, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ to other people. Welcome back, Dr. Phil.
Thanks, Peter. Great to be back.
Yeah, it's great to have you.
This is awesome.
You know, we talked yesterday about the Great Commission. Jesus said, go make disciples of all nations. Mm-hmm. You know, the church exists for that purpose, to make disciples. Mm-hmm. And a disciple is made by introducing them to the discipler, the one who does the discipling, into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I know you've done that in many ways in your life. And I'm hoping today you could share with us some stories.
Yeah, we'll get started on that. And before I talk about my personal experience, I want to base it on two parts of the scripture that really illustrate this. And the first is in John chapter 1, as Andrew goes and finds Jesus. Then he runs back and tells Peter, hey, come and see who I found. Then he goes and gets Nathaniel, who's, you know, kind of snotty, but he says, hey, come and see who I found. And then he brings them to Jesus. And I always love the story of Nathaniel, because like, well, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Then all of a sudden he's like, oh, Rabbi, you're the Son of God. it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So because Andrew has had the experience with him, he wants his brother to come, he wants his friend to come. You know, when you experience Jesus in a live, personal way, and when your heart's transformed, you want everybody to know about it. You don't want people to sit in a pew just looking glazed over. You want people to experience what you've experienced. You want them to know what you know. Then later on in John chapter 4, the story of the woman at the well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I love that story, and we could do like hours and hours of teaching on that. But, you know, here's this woman, Samaritan woman. I mean, see the
half-breed.
The half-breed. This, yeah. Like, no Jewish person would even walk. They would walk around Samaria.
Yeah.
Because it was better they walked through the Gentile land than to walk through the land where the half-breeds lived. And here's Jesus sitting at the well talking to her, and she can't even believe it. But then the part I want to get to in that account is the fact that she then recognizes what he is and says, I got to go tell everybody. So she runs into the town and goes, hey, come and see who I found.
Yeah.
And then then they came. And the interesting thing is that it ends up by saying these people who came from the town said, well, first we believe because of what you said, but now we see it for ourselves.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened to me. I felt like, at first I felt, am I the only one who knows this? Because nobody around me was talking like that. I thought like, what's happened to me? Because this is so weird. You know, my friends don't talk like this. You know, the people in my office don't talk like this. The people who come in and out of my office don't talk like this. But then I realized that I wanted people to know what I know. Mm-hmm. I wanted people to understand that this was their salvation, that they weren't going to be saved, you know, the way they thought they were going to be saved by living a perfect life, which would be great if you could do it. But so I shouldn't say, but, you know, through the influence of the Holy Spirit, I just started preaching to everybody who came in. I mean, I was just this, you know.
I mean, how'd you do it? Preach? You didn't meet him at the door and said, you know, here's, you have your Bible in hand and
banging
over the head.
No.
How would you?
I never hit anybody over the head with the Bible, or I never said, listen here, you're on your way to hell. If you, yeah, you know, yeah, you know, yeah. No. Because that turns people off I mean, yeah. You've all, sure. I'm sure, encountered the, quote, Bible thumpers.
Yeah.
And although they do a lot of good evangelization, they also do a lot of turning people off. But what I would do is I would ask people, like I see a lot of people in my office, not just patients, but salespeople, drug reps, mm-hmm. you know, friends that would stop in to visit. I have this common question I would say to them, I want to ask you one question. Before you do your presentation, I'm going to ask you a question, then you can do your presentation. And the question is, what do you have to do to go to heaven? And they would look at you like you just landed from Mars. Yeah. I'd say, what? I'd say, well, you think about that. What do you have to do to go to heaven? Now do your presentation. And they always want to answer right away. Mm-hmm. Because, of course, the standard answer is, well, be good, go to church, don't hurt anybody, you know, kind of like standard answers. So that's why I said, don't answer right away, you have to think about it. So then I let them do their presentation, and then I say, so what do you think?
You mean like a drug rep, yeah, presentation, yeah. Try to sell you guys something?
Selling a piece of equipment. Okay, now, when the presentation's over, I say, now, what about the question? Well, you have to be good, you have to go to church, not hurt anybody. I say, well, how good do you have to be? Well, you can't hurt anybody. I say, well, you have to be perfect. They say, what do you mean you have to be perfect? I say, well, you can't violate the law because then you're imperfect. You can't approach God. The whole, you know, as you study the Old Testament, it becomes apparent right off the bat that God is separated from the people because he's holy and they're sinners. And because of his holiness and his justice, he can't just say, oh, let's just forget about the sins. Let's just, you know, forget about it. As they say in New Jersey, you know, forget about it. But, you know, we have a problem because we can't approach a holy God because we're sinners. Then by that time, their eyes are like either saying, what a kook, or what do you mean? And what I started to notice was that people would engage in conversation. Mm-hmm. These were people that would say, oh, yeah, you know, I go to Mass once in a while, but I have a really busy job and my kids are really busy. So, you know, what do you expect me to do? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, God's got to understand that I can only go to the 8 o'clock Mass because the rest of the week I'm really busy. Mm-hmm. And if my kid has, you know, a soccer game on Sunday morning, you know, I can't go to Mass. That's just all there is to it. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I'm really busy and I'll try to fit him in where I can. Yeah. Then I say, well, you know, Jesus doesn't want to be part of your life. And they say, why? What do you mean? I go, he wants to be the center of your life. Mm-hmm. He died to save you. And if you want to fit him in on a Sunday morning before a soccer game, or you don't go at all because of the soccer game, or your job is so stressful that on Sundays you say, hey, look, I'm tired, and God needs to understand that, wrong answer. And I found this way, you know, of people, you know, you approach people where they are. Mm-hmm. You know, like Paul says, you know, I've become all things to all people in order to save mm-hmm. some. Mm-hmm. You know, you kind of go where they are mm-hmm. and you meet them at their level, like mm-hmm. Jesus did to the woman at the well. Mm-hmm. You know, getting back to her, you know, he approaches her where she is.
Yeah.
Oh, you're thirsty? You got to come and get water. I can give you some other water. You won't get thirsty anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and she goes, oh, great. Give me that water. You know, I'm sick of coming out here. But he makes, you know, he gradually leads her to the salvation. And you have to approach people where they are. Mm-hmm. And I was struck by the fact, you know, sometime later that a lot of these people are Jewish. Hmm. And they don't...
A lot of people who are meeting in your office.
Yeah,
people are coming in and, yeah,
and
other doctors,
people,
other folks, yeah, that you get in conversations with.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, lots of Jewish people who either don't know their heritage at all and have never studied the Old Testament at all, mm-hmm. or know it pretty well and want to confront you about the, you know, the Jesus thing,
yeah.
you know, as they call it. Well, let's talk about this Jesus thing again.
Yeah.
And so I found myself not only talking in the office, but, you know, going to lunch with these people and meeting them for breakfast and going for coffee and calling them on the phone. And I mean, and some of these people, I've been going on 4 or 5 years mm-hmm. to show them why Jesus is the Messiah, why he's their Lord, and how that came out of their heritage mm-hmm. because he, I don't want to say was, is a Jewish man mm-hmm. who came for the house of Israel. Mm-hmm. And so the first thing I noticed, the first thing was studying the scripture, but what that led to was evangelizing everybody because I wanted them to know what I knew. Mm-hmm. So when I would go to my parish church for Sunday masses and I would say to somebody, wow, wasn't that first reading awesome? They would look at you like, what do you mean? I'd say, oh, wasn't that awesome? And people would say, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I'd say, well, let me tell you what that means. Let me tell you why that was awesome. And then they'd be like, wow, I never thought of that. Mm-hmm. So I was like doing it everywhere I went.
Yeah.
And a lot of these drug reps and salespeople, I mean, they're young. You know, they're in their 20s, mm-hmm. you know, mid-20s, late 20s. And I'd say, listen, when you leave here, you may think I'm a crazy old man, but I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care what you think of me.
Yeah.
It's not about me. And I really honestly got to the point where I didn't care what people thought about me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't. Because we have the message to give them. You know, there's a lot of analogies of, you know, you're in a burning building and you know where the exits are and yeah. you want to tell everybody.
There's a, you know, some people listen to me and say, well, gee, it's just kind of inappropriate to talk about faith things in a work context.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's just not the right place for that to happen or something like that.
Yeah, that doesn't bother me.
I mean, it doesn't seem to bother those people. Somebody says, look, I'd rather not listen. You're not imposing anything on anybody. You're just proposing something.
No. If somebody says, hey, I don't want to hear it, I say, okay.
Yeah.
You know, I've had three Muslims approach me and wanted to know what the gospel was. And one of them got very hostile, as I explained it. I mean, very hostile. One was totally indifferent and said, well, I don't believe that. And the other one listened very, very carefully. I mean, he wanted the whole presentation, so we went from Adam and Eve to the end of Revelation, like in about 40 minutes. And he listened to the whole thing very respectfully. And then at the end he said, good presentation, but I don't believe what you're saying. And I really didn't expect him to be converted on the spot.
Yeah.
But he said, the problem with what you're saying is, number one, God cannot have a son. Mm-hmm. Because he's God and we're human.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay. A lot of Jewish people say that to me.
Mm-hmm.
Then secondly, his objection was, I am a sinner, so I have to pay for my sin. God cannot pay for my sin. I have to pay for my sin.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, yes, but that's the good news.
Mm-hmm.
The good news is that you don't have to pay for your sin.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, I don't believe you, but it's okay. So you know, I just approach whoever wants to hear it without forcing it.
And knowing the message, I think a lot of people hesitate to share because they don't know what to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what would I say to somebody that doesn't come across totally awkward? Or what's the nugget? What's the heart of the message? What am I trying to communicate? And I think that's partly what you've experienced. Yeah, the part of this, the biblical study, the grace of the Holy Spirit in your life has led you to really dial into the apostolic message, the basic kerygma, the core that the apostles communicated, to be able to transmit that as well. And I know you've also had times of praying with people and people who've responded. And I wonder if tomorrow we could take that up and just share with our listeners some of what you've seen the Lord do.
Oh, yeah. Great. I can do it on a very personal level, too.
Okay, good. Well, thanks for joining us again today.
Okay,
and
Peter.
Brothers and sisters, God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow by God's grace. Bye-bye.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.